Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Go back to verse 6. Verse 6 is my focus for this meeting. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Let's acknowledge the presence of our Father in the Lord. You're welcome, sir. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, listen. Let me show you this. Ministry is what Jesus has called you to do. Praise the Lord. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? Ministry is what Jesus has called you to do. Amen. Listen. There is no combined calling. There's no corporate calling. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even a husband and wife are not called together. They are not called to the same thing. They may be called to the same assignment, but within that assignment, God will give the wife something to do, and God will give the woman something to do. If they are going to be effective in their calling, are you hearing what I'm saying? Each of them must have a personal encounter from God concerning that assignment that God wants them to have within that call. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What is ministry? Please listen to me. Ministry is what Jesus has given you to do. The first thing that Paul said was, Lord, what will thou have me do? Praise God. Lord, what will thou have me do? That is ministry. Ministry is what Jesus has called you to do. Now, remember what I began by saying is that we say ministry is service, provision of service, diakonia, you're right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But if that is all that you know as definition of ministry, you are defining ministry at a very elementary level. And the meaning of it is this, that you will not fully discharge the call of God upon you. Amen. Amen. You will not fully discharge the call of God upon your life. If you go to a house and there are many children, every child knows his bedroom. Praise God. If you do not know your bedroom, if you don't know if you have a bedroom, you will sleep on the couch in the sitting room. And you will think that that is where you are supposed to be sleeping. You will not fully enjoy the provisions that has been made available to you. So you must know what is it that Jesus has called you to do. And this is important. And I'm stressing it at the beginning very seriously. Because you have to understand, I put it in another way, that ministry is the portion of work in God's kingdom that Jesus invited you to come and participate in along with him. Please, I say it again. Ministry is the work that Jesus invited you, is the work of the kingdom that Jesus invited you to come and participate in. In other words, in other words, if this is the kingdom of God, are you hearing me? Within the kingdom of God, and many assignments and many things to be done. Are you getting me? Hello, are we together? Jesus can decide to call you and say, this is what I want you to do in the kingdom. Hallelujah. This is the, and we're going to look at it because there's something I will share with you that was towards the end, which we'll not look at today. Because the moment you understand that Jesus has called you to do a particular thing, there are three implications. Immediately, that delineates your assignment. That means that it will determine the content of your assignment. It will determine the scope of your assignment. It will determine the nature of your assignment. It is lack of the understanding of this that somebody will leave this and want to come somewhere here and want to do what this one is doing. And he has forgotten. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. It is the lack of understanding of this that produces competition in ministry. It is the lack of understanding of this that produces distraction in ministry. So before you begin, are you hearing what I'm saying? And I have checked, sir. Every time God called somebody, the first thing God did for that person was that God defined the assignment of that person from the moment that he called him. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So, the moment God defined the assignment, it was easy for that person to do that. But there's something I'm going to show you. Even from the text that we have read, you will notice that God said to Paul that you will speak, you will go on my behalf to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. The Jews were the last part of the assignment that was given to Paul. But if you know Paul very well, Paul loved the Jews. He said it in the book of Romans. In fact, he said, I wish that I could sacrifice my own salvation so that the Jews can come in. So because of his love for the Jews, he wanted to make the Jews his priority. He started ministry among the Jews. Until the Jews dealt with him, then he said, I now go to the Gentiles. He didn't go to the Gentiles out of joy. He went out of protest. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? He went because he was rejected. Now, as he began to get to the latter part of his ministry, Paul wanted to revisit that Gentile thing. I mean, that Jewish thing. And for all intent and purpose, that was how his ministry ended. The moment he said he must go to Jerusalem, they say, we have seen the man that will go to Jerusalem. This is what will happen to him. In fact, scripture said to us that they spoke by the Holy Ghost. Not that they said they spoke by the Holy Ghost. That the man who, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what happened. He said, I must go. Listen, the first thing, please listen to me. And many of the mistakes people are making in ministry is that you are actually doing something else than what Jesus will have you to do. And listen, what peace you would have had, have you just accepted what Jesus will have you to do? What comfort will come into your life? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Ministry is the area of assignment that Jesus has delegated to you. And is the area of assignment Jesus has delegated to you. And there are two serious implications of this. There are two serious implications of this. Number one is that, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Let me show you something. So, ministry is a delegated assignment by Jesus. So, Paul begins to speak. He said, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you all. That means that something was given to him, but it was not actually for his own benefit. It was for the benefit of others. So he said, to you all. Is that all right? Verse 2. Let's continue reading to 6. To verse 6. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now listen, please, I want you to hear me. There are three implications of the fact that Jesus delegated an assignment to you. Number one, is that every man that God has called, listen, if there are 5 or 10 Bible teachers in this room, every one of them will come with a fragrance. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Have you seen 3 women, you give them to cook jollof rice, all their jollof rice will taste differently? Because each of them comes with a special way of doing it. Listen to me. If God calls you to ministry, there is something special about the way your own, that is, if you find your own ministry, there will be something special about the way your own ministry is. Paul said it. He said, a dispensation of the gospel was given to me. Listen to me. So, the confidence of every minister is upon the strength of the dispensation that has been given to him. And the dispensation that has been given to him, nobody can copy that dispensation. Nobody can take that dispensation. Nobody can do it like he will do it. Let me even tell you this. I had this, somebody say this. You know, when people die, they say, oh, may God raise somebody. See, God will not replace that person. God will raise another man. And that man will, are you hearing what I'm saying? When God told Elijah, said, there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. It was because Elijah, are you hearing me? God was warning Elijah. But whatever these men were carrying, they were not going to produce the same fragrance as he will produce. They may end up doing the work, are you hearing me? But it will not come in the form and in the style that Elijah would have done. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So listen, first is that when the Bible says a dispensation, that means that there is something the body of Christ will lose if your ministry is not done. If you don't fulfill your ministry, let me tell you. See, let me, you know. In fact, you have to be careful, because these are the things that God will judge you on. These are the things that God will judge you. So it's as though your mother asked your sister to cook a particular soup. And when your mother left, your mother called you, you were somewhere, and told you to buy Maggi and take it to your sister to cook. Then for whatever reason, you did not buy that Maggi, and your sister cooked the soup, but there was no Maggi in it. You will have a question to answer when you appeared before your mother. A dispensation of the gospel has been given to us. To everyone that said, a dispensation of the gospel has been given. If you do not rise up to meet up with that part that God has given to you, you have a question to answer. Number two, when somebody delegates something, it means the person withdraws himself from doing that particular part of the work and has given someone else that part of the work to do. Oh, you didn't get it. So, when you are in ministry, listen, when you read the Bible and Jesus says that we are yoke fellows, we are joined, are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that that's what it means to share. If you read Acts, where we read, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 16, he said, and I will show him what sufferings, what great sufferings he was going to go through. It's called, that was what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Part of ministry is that there are certain sufferings that God will honor you to join him in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I want you to hear me very well. That is that when Jesus has delegated that part of the assignment to you, Jesus has given it to you. Jesus is not doing it. You didn't get what I'm saying. He has delegated it to you. That is why, if you read the parable of the talents, the Bible says the kingdom of God, Matthew 25 from verse 14, the kingdom of God can be likened to a man who was going to go to a far country. The Bible says, and he took off his goods and he gave it to his servants. And the Bible says, straightway he left. Did you notice that all the while that he was away, he didn't call them and say, how far? How is ministry? How is the business I left for you? Did you notice he didn't call them? The next time he showed up to take account of what happened. A sister rendition of that scripture says that he gave them his goods and said to them, occupy till I come. Another one said, do business till I come. So in other words, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for you. In other words, he's saying what Jesus is doing is what people do when you go for a match. He's clapping for you, saying you can make it. Jesus is not coming down into the game. Hebrews 12. Seeing that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Are you hearing? Let us run the race that is set before us. He is not coming down to do it for you. The next time you will have a meeting with him will be to account for the assignment he gave you. So if you think that, listen, if you think that what God called you to do is a joke, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you think that what God called you to do is a joke, you better know that it's not a joke. He has delegated a portion of the assignment. How many of you have gone to farm before? Gone to farm with your parents? When you go, what do? They share the portions, isn't it? And there is a way that if you are doing your own, all of you will come and meet at a particular point. Isn't it? A portion has been given to you. Ministry is that portion that was given to you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Ministry is that portion of assignment that has been given to you. See, the meaning of it is that, see, you have a responsibility to prepare yourself, to study. Are you hearing me? Now, let me say this to you. God has no option B until a man is unfaithful. See, don't go into ministry and like, maybe if I even fail, man, somebody can just come and do it. And you know, God has no option B. Every time God option A for fails, that is when God raises a second option. See, many people say, you know, when God said David was a man after my heart, listen to me, we will never have heard of David. David would have played the flute and the guitar all his life in the bush. It was the day Saul failed that God said, I have found somebody. Now listen to the word. He didn't say, I picked somebody. He said, I have found somebody. In fact, if you want to know how serious this matter is, come to the day that David was to be anointed in his father's house. When they saw Eliab, and Eliab looked the part, and God said, I have rejected him. You don't reject a person that you have never chosen before. Which means that there was somewhere that Eliab was waiting for something. And I have this feeling that it was for this position. If not, God will not be telling Samuel, because Samuel came for an assignment. So God cannot now be telling Samuel within the context of that assignment that I have rejected this one. The meaning of I have rejected is that he was actually measured. He was actually, they actually prospected him. They look at the possibility of him taking that responsibility. Hallelujah. And when he had removed, for though I preach the gospel, listen, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. You know what he's saying? He said, look, even if I don't want to do it, necessity is laid upon me. For yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So listen to me. We don't always preach the gospel because we enjoy it. I mean, our Father in the Lord has been up and about, probably for months on end. You know, sometimes when you look at all those ministers who are traveling around, you know, who are having this speaking, many of us, that is our desire, to arrive at the place where we are preaching, you know, every other week. You know, in a week, you preach in three places, you preach in four places. I have been honored to have a little taste of it. Listen to me. In the little taste I have tasted, I have come home many days. Listen to me. I've come home many days. I've sat back in the car. And I start thinking of all my friends. Are you understanding me? Which will not have the opportunity to come back home like I did. When you arrive there, you will understand what it means by necessity is laid on you. Do you know what I discovered? Funny enough, is that many times the greatest challenge you have in all this traveling ministry is that you must have the highest level of discipline. If not, even your Bible you will not read. Because many times the people you see traveling, the only time they have to sleep is when they are on that journey. Because they travel, they bring them like this. As they are bringing them, they are landing straight at where they are going to speak. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some of them are traveling. They are preparing the sermon on the way as they are traveling. They are landing there. I don't know what that is. You are coming out of one meeting. You are flying or traveling for another meeting. And you are speaking in three, four places, three sessions, four sessions a day. You think it's enjoyment. May God give you that kind of enjoyment. May you have that kind of enjoyment. Because I know what is pushing many people. It's the cameras. Let me tell you, when you come into that season, you will bless God for the days that you didn't have many invitations. Because there are invitations you honor not because you wanted to go. Sometimes, not even because you were led, but because you cannot say no. I didn't say it's not the will of God. I just said that you probably were not led. But you cannot say no. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Necessity is laid on you. Now, let me say this. That heaven is depending on you to deliver your constituency. You understand that language. Heaven is waiting on you to deliver that portion that has been given to you. You know that if you go to that farm and everybody finishes his own, you know everybody will go and sit down and be waiting for you to come and deliver your own. Amen. Number three implication is that he gave you the assignment in spite of your weaknesses. Amen. In spite of your faults. In spite of the people who didn't believe in you. In spite of your past failures. And in spite of the devil. You know, there's this idea. People think that if you are in ministry, if God has called you into ministry, you got into ministry because of how good you are. Let me tell you, some of the worst people I've met in my life are ministers. Some of the worst people you will meet are ministers. But I want you to hear what I said to you. That God called you in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your failures, in spite of who liked you or who didn't like you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And I want to take you some... I'm just rounding up now. I want to show you something. For you see your calling, brethren, how that when God called you, not many were wise. See, listen to me. This is the most humbling scripture for me as a minister. Every time I remember this scripture, this is the most humbling scripture. When God called you, not many of you were wise. Men after the flesh. Not many were mighty. Not many were noble. Next verse, please. But God has chosen, look at your neighbor as I read this. But God has chosen tell your neighbor that's me. That's a place for you to thank God. That's a spot. That's somewhere you just rejoice. So listen to me. I've told people I have nothing to prove. Stop trying to prove any. I have nothing to prove. For God, Dama, God chose the foolish things of this world. Are you hearing one? What did God choose? The foolish things of this world. The foolish things of this world, that he might confound the wise. He did it for a reason. And God has chosen the weak things of this world. Look at your neighbor and smile. See, let me tell you something. From today, may God give you ease. You know what? When you have something to prove, praise God, when you have something to prove, that is when you'll be raising your shoulder. When you have nothing to prove, you will calm down. When you have nothing to prove, you calm down. And I have nothing to prove. Because God chose the foolish things. The chiefest of whom I was. God chose the weakest things. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Next verse, we're doing it to 30. And base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know your greatest assignment? Your greatest assignment is that when God, whenever you stand, flesh loses its power. Because when flesh sees you, it just knows that there was no way this guy could have become this. There was no way this woman would have been able to do this. This has to be God. So that every time I stand to do something, the only thing that will come out from the mouth of people is glory to God. Because there are things that you will see and you will know that the arm of flesh did not do this. So there are two things this must produce in you. One, it must produce an appreciation of who God is. And it must produce a determination to become everything that God can ever make of you. Hallelujah. So ministry is not just offering service. It is a calling. When you think ministry is just a service, you will fall into the error of Uzzah. You will think that. And let me tell you this. Let me say this. One of the worst things that is happening to the kingdom of God is the democratization of ministry, especially the of callings and titles. So how many of you have noticed that everybody around you is a pastor? Everybody, I mean, somebody goes to church, somebody just loves God, is a pastor. I was reading a document of a particular ministry, their doctrinal position. And in their doctrine, they say members of their church must not worship in another church. And if they go to a city where that church does not exist, they should start one. You see, when you think that ministry is just something you just do, you just wake up and you just do it, that is what you arrive at. So Uzzah saw that the ark was going to fall. And somehow in his mind, he just felt, I'm not doing anything. Let me just help. There are many people that are called pastors today that have no business in ministry. You know why, sir? Jesus have not showed them the part of the assignment he wants them to do. And when I say ministry, I'm not talking about even pastoring necessarily. Listen to me. Even if your ministry is giving, let Jesus, are you hearing what I'm saying? You must have had an encounter. When I say an encounter, I didn't mean Jesus appeared to you. Because every time they tell people have an encounter, they begin to think of Jesus appearing in their room at night. They were standing before me. God didn't call me like that. All those people who God called them, there was a big crusade. They saw a lot of people and they had God calling their name. Ali, this is not how God called me. You know, I don't know how everybody that God called, they were in a large crusade. No. Let me tell you something. God created you. If God talks to you, you will know. If you walk out of this place and God wants to use this flower to talk to you, this leaf, you will hear him. You will know God talked to you. So listen. The Bible says, no man taketh this honor upon himself, except he first be called. No man. Ministry is not what you decided to do for Jesus. You know, there are people who are doing ministry. For them, ministry is what they decided to do, you know. They just discovered they're not doing anything. What can we do? Let me. Ministry is not what you decided to do for Jesus. You are too small to do anything for him. He has no need of anything that you have. He has no need of anything that you have. In fact, the worst thing, listen, let me tell you this. How many of you remember the story of the young rich ruler? Let's be sincere. The Bible says the man was rich. There are three qualities about him. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. So, Pastor Shah, I defined it to myself like this. He was rich, that is obvious. He was young, that's obvious. Ruler is one we don't know. We don't know what kind of rulership. We don't know whether he was a prince. So in our today's Nigeria, he was a member of House of Reps. And he joined your church. No, how will you manage that kind of person? And he joined your church. And he came and told you, I want to follow you. You know, God is a very interesting person. God is the only one that you came to offer him service. Necessary service. It was Jesus that was going around telling people, come and follow me, come and follow me. Now somebody has come to follow you. Then you look the person in the eye and start giving him conditions for following you. It's only Jesus that you want to walk with him and he will give you conditions. Now if that kind of guy was in your church, sir, Will he even do foundation class? You will just allow him after a few days, you know, after just give him a few days and you give him elder or something. How do you invite that person to come and do foundation class? And Jesus looked at him and said, if you wish to follow me, go sell all that you have and come, give it to the poor, then come and follow me. Then the Bible says that the guy looked, and the Bible says he was sad. There were actually two conditions. The first one was that Jesus asked him condition about following. The Bible says the guy was sad, and the guy just turned to leave. So in my mind, Pastor Adam, in my mind, Jesus would run and say, "Abba, kekuma, but I was sad. They play with you, just small thing. You have already started leaving." And even though this year this is not what we are considering, let me tell you, this is what is destroying many ministries. A gifted person, a blessed person, somebody with something to offer comes into your ministry, and he does not go through everything everybody ought to go. You don't put the person through process. Anybody that does not go through process is a time bomb waiting to happen. So Jesus, I was thinking Jesus would go to him and say, "I've taken this now. Somebody cannot play with you again. You're already going." In my mind, I was just thinking, if I was like Jesus, just okay, you know what we're going to do? You don't have to give everything to the poor. You can, like, 25% to the poor. We have this crusade in Galilee. It cost us like 50-something million. If you can handle that, you can just keep the rest. Jesus didn't say that. The Bible says the guy turned, was leaving. I used to be offended at scripture sometimes because of some information scripture gives us that we don't know what to do with the scripture. Then the scripture gives us what is called an aside, in bracket. And the Bible says, for Jesus loved him. Is that how you love somebody? And Jesus watched him and respected his fundamental human right to live. And the man walked away and Jesus didn't call him back. Ministry is not what you decide to do for Jesus. Don't come to the choir and do as Yangao. Because the actual candidates Jesus is looking for are not the ones that their voice goes, "Yeah." No. The moment you come, God will raise somebody with a hoarse voice, and the person will be pulling crowd, and you with your voice, nobody will be listening to you. Because Jesus will pick the foolish things of this world. Let me tell you. Ministry is the last place for you to do attitudes. In fact, if you like yourself, ministry is the last place to show any young gaff. You don't do that. You know what pained me about when God chose David? In the whole of the conversation, what pained me was that God told Saul, "I have chosen your neighbor." That was the language scripture used. He said, I have chosen your neighbor. Now, my question is that. So, which means that when God was going to choose Saul, that neighbor was there. Saul did not know that the neighbor was there. And God went to choose Saul. So, when God wanted to show Saul, "I can do without you," God didn't go searching for somebody from afar. He just picked the neighbor. You know what scripture will say about that? Hold fast to that which you have. Let no man take it away from you. Means there are men that are prepared. There are men that are pouncing around. They are prowling. This thing that God, Jesus gave you, that you are playing with it, that you don't have value for it. There are men that are asking you, what can I do for you? There are men that are praying every day, what can I do for you? Hallelujah. What is ministry? Ministry is what Jesus called you to do. If you know what he has called you to do, that settles a lot of questions in your life. That gives you peace. That, are you hearing what I'm saying? And like I said, there are three things that that statement will settle for you. It will settle the nature of your assignment. Because if your mother is sending you to the market, she will tell you what to buy. When you get, if you are going to the market to buy magisa, it doesn't matter how nice the aroma of suya in the market is. You cannot go and buy suya and bring. What you were sent was magi. Do you know that if you are sent to buy magi, if you are sent to buy magi in the market, and somebody else was sent to maybe go and buy plantain, the one that was sent to buy magi will come faster, because the people who sell magi, they are in front of the market. The one that wants to buy plantain may have to go inside the market. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? It will tell you the nature of your assignment. It will tell you the scope of your assignment, because your scope determines your boundary. And it will tell you the content of your assignment. And if the Lord permits us, we will look into that before this conference is over. Hallelujah. Let's take a minute to pray. Let's take a minute to pray.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.